A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. It's got all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms. Got to be 21 and in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700 is the number. All right, some of the big names just getting their day started. Rory McIlroy with a par on one after he misread his putt for birdie. And a little left, so we'll keep an eye on the Open Championship as the day moves along. I wanted to note two things in the World Cup action, which did get started for us very early today at about midnight West Pacific time and 3 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So the first of which is already a pretty big upset. One of the first matches, New Zealand goes out, gets a 1-0 win over Norway. Norway closed at about minus 250 at multiple shops. Some spots open minus 314 on the three-way line for Norway. New Zealand as high as plus 874 on the open. Closed at about 660, 670, so near 7-1. So a very big upset already at the start of group play for the women. New Zealand gets that 1-0 win. An identical 1-0 win for Australia as well. The news here, twofold. First off, Aussies were about a $2.10 favorite, so at least the result is what we expected, although I think the degree of the result, I think a lot of people thought maybe that was going to be a little bit easier for them. But the news around the Australians is that striker Sam Kerr, who we actually talked about the other day with Drew Dinsick, who's about 7-1 to win the Golden Boot, most goals scored in this tournament, is going to miss the opening two matches of the Women's World Cup. So that includes the one that they just played. And, of course, the one coming up, that would be July 27th against Nigeria, suffered a calf injury in training ahead of the tournament. So they came down late yesterday. But a big blow for not only them, but again, when you talk about top goal scorer, a big blow there, and it shakes up the market because that was one of the top options at the top of the board.
What's interesting about that, though, JVT, is I know why I just updated these odds. The top two, Alex Morgan, Sophia Smith, I don't think their odds changed at all from what we were looking at.
That's a good point.
Because Kerr was plus 750, third on the list. You would think those two would get shorter at the top.
Yeah. Do you have the entire list in front of you? I do wonder. I'd have to. We'll ask Paul Carr about this, you know, coming up later. Obviously, two games is a pretty big deal, and especially two games, which, I mean, just judging, you know, I don't know about the power rating status of Australia, but judging by their power rating, probably going to be favored over Nigeria in their matchup on July 27th. Two opportunities to really score a lot of goals, but obviously, you could still win this thing if you win your group, make a deep run. Do you wonder what the adjusted odds would be on her? Because you can't take her out entirely because she is coming back.
25-1 is what she moves back to. So Alex Morgan, yes, was 4-1 yesterday. So remains exactly the same. So Sophia Smith does go from plus 650 to plus 600, but still not much movement there.
Colin Morikawa out in the rough all by himself. You made it, by the way.
I do have a first-round leader bet on him and Justin Rose, but they're both off to bad starts as well.
You want to share your observation with this first tee with everybody else?
Oh, I don't know. Just from the past few groups that we've seen tee off, everybody's gone hit it right and far right. I think Rory, I didn't get to see his second shot, but I think he hit it so far right, he actually ended up having a decent lie because everything was probably trampled down over there, and he was able to get on the green, actually had a look for birdie.
Yes, seems to be playing all right. Five under, would you say five under?
Rahm's going right.
Rahm's going right here on two.
All these guys having trouble. Yeah, so I do have, what do I have pending here? I have Rose and Morikawa. The first round leader bets I made were Fleetwood, Siwoo Kim. Siwoo not going to get there. Morikawa, Justin Rose. And I told the guys downstairs, I think Hovland would be a decent bet. A lot of this stuff you can bet live. You know, especially if you're over on the East Coast, I think with the conditions like they are right now, you're not getting much rain. The wind isn't massive. I would look for a pure ball striker and just hope he runs pure with the putter here today. I actually think this 500 could be beat by one of these guys here in the later wave.
Golf talk.
Golf talk.
Our bosses love it. It's important. All right. It's a major. It's a major. We got to keep our eye on this thing. All right. With that, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk a little more Major League Baseball big picture. We'll talk with Joe Sheehan about the New York Yankees and what we're expecting of them. And maybe we'll go over a little bit of the results last night because we did get some series finalized. You know, Cardinals get a good sweep. Rangers sweep the Rays. So they're continuing to at least get off to a pretty good start here in the second half after stumbling into the All-Star break, the Rangers, and keeping their distance from the Houston Astros, which is also a very big deal. And how about this from last night, too, just a quick mention, the Baltimore Orioles now tied for first place in the American League East with the Tampa Bay Rays after they beat the Dodgers, and the Rays, of course, get swept by the Texas Rangers. So with that, a lot of interesting NFL markets that are up, and as we get closer to the NFL season, there's different ways to approach these and have good conversations about them, and I think this is one of the more interesting conversations that are out there, which is odds to have the fewest regular season wins, worst record. Last year, of course, the Chicago Bears get that honor, I think. Yeah, that's an honor. You got the first overall pick, and you traded it for some stuff. So, not surprising, Arizona Cardinals are your favorite to finish with the fewest regular season wins. They are sitting at 2-1. The Buccaneers are at 8-1, as are the Houston Texans. The Rams are at 950, which I am kind of surprised by. I get after last season and whatnot and the injury concerns from Matthew Stafford, but they still got some stuff. I'm surprised the odds are that short. And then you get into the double digits. Commanders 10-1, Raiders 12-1, Titans and Colts at 14-1, Patriots at 15-1, the disrespect. And the Giants at 20-1 would also stress shop around. So one of the teams that you and I both have bets on, did you bet that too? The Tennessee Titans.
I've only bet two. I'm pretty sure me and you have shared both of them.
You're right. Yeah. So, like, if you shop around, like, the Tennessee Titans were 21-1 to have the worst record in the NFL. If you can find that, you can shop around. There was Circa who had that. I'm going to get the updated odds for you because since then they did get DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think that would change much for you.
I checked on the day of, and it didn't really change at all. Okay. But yeah, I mean, you would think at some shop out there, it probably. Got a little bit longer, but Jeff, I don't know about you. The bet really doesn't change for me because the bet is at some point Ryan Tannehill is not going to be playing this season, and you're going to be hitting the restart button basically on this team. Mm-hmm. That's the bet for me. So I don't really think that whether it's if you've got Levis out there starting games now, I don't really think it's going to completely change the course of their season, most likely in a positive direction, regardless if DeAndre Hopkins is there or not. So at 20-1, I mean, you're finding those kind of numbers on it. Yeah, I think it's a good bet. The Cardinals at 2-1, I don't even know if those odds are that far off, JVT. Like, it is. The Cardinals roster is brutal. Like, they are deserving to be the short shot in this market. But man, I think there's a lot of teams. I think there's a lot of candidates. This is one of my favorite markets to bet every year. But I guess I think there's a lot of candidates you can find at longer odds that have almost just as good of a chance to have a terrible, terrible season.
Yeah, and if you look in at some of the projections for like a team like Arizona, because like generally with these kind of markets, I'm always asking like, all right, you know, I'll always start personally with. Should the team be favored? Like, should they be favored to this degree? Because clearly there's a gap between Arizona and the team there. They have, by projected win totals, the 22nd easiest schedule, or what is that, the 10th or 11th hardest schedule by that measure coming into next season. And, of course, no Kyler Murray to start the year. You don't know when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back, because that's the thing, too. Why rush it? And spots like the Superbook have lines that have, for every single line, weeks 1 through 18, they are projected at this point right now, the Arizona Cardinals, to be an underdog in every single game this season. The shortest number that they would catch would be that week 10 to 14 stretch, projected to be a 2-point underdog at home against Atlanta, 3-point underdog on the road against Houston, and a 1.5-point underdog at home against Los Angeles Rams. So on the surface, this looks like this is going to be a season in which the Cardinals, rightfully so, are in the driver's seat, essentially, for the worst record in the National Football League. This is one where I kind of find it actually kind of hard to poke a hole in this because.
Oh, sure. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it does look pretty bad. The roster is in really bad shape, despite Steve Keim going on Colin Cowherd's show. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but like, you know, Kyler Murray, it's a big pressure season for him. Like, he tore his ACL in December, bro, yeah. And you actually destroyed the roster with your moves.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. So this looks like a pretty bleak scenario for Arizona. But when you're talking about reasons that we made our bets, I'm looking at like the wide outcome of seasons for these teams, and I think more often than the market is saying, especially at 21-1, a Titans season can go south pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of depth. There can be bad quarterback play that can start early. I get that Vrabel is a guy that maximizes his roster. It's why it's 21-1 and not like 8-1. But I have a feeling that this season can get pretty bad for Tennessee, and one of the worst outcomes could be worst record. And by the way, if you're in that range, you might be pretty motivated, Kelly, because it's a pretty good quarterback available at the top of the draft.
Yep, totally. I mean, it would be interesting if they drafted, would it be quarterback 3 years in a row then if they went that? But I don't hate on that at all. If you don't have the guy, go get the right guy. I do think I like the Raiders though even better. Like the Raiders better than the Titans, because I mean that I think this Raiders team could end up being an absolute disaster this year, and there's a chance. I don't know how you are, what your stance is on the Denver Broncos. I'm not in the camp of, oh, watch out for the full bounce back season, but
I think they're a playoff team.
I think there's a possibility of that, and if you're talking that, then you're talking the Raiders are in an extremely tough division with a team that I don't think has a whole ton of upside.
Yep, I would completely agree with that. That quarterback depth chart, dude, like razor's edge, man. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to play.
Jacobs isn't showing up. Like, what are you doing?
Yep, I would completely agree with that. All right, we'll take our break. Coming back, Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan. We'll talk about the trade deadline, what some of these teams are going to do, and what the second half looks like as we move forward for teams like the Yankees, who are in a little bit of a bad position after getting swept by a team like the Angels.
The Sports Betting Network.
There's a lot of stuff for use up on the website. One of the great things is, of course, the Picks at a Glance page. You can easily sort through picks. You can follow hosts and guests and their selections as well. And we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard. You can check out the hot hand at the network. Introductory offer for everything we do at $19 over at VSiN.com/subscribe. Check that out. Or make sure you check out, of course, our summer kickoff special, $175, everything we do through the Super Bowl. With that, let's talk a little bit of football. Real football. Women's World Cup, of course, underway. We had a pretty big upset earlier in the day, so let's go over that and some news when it comes to injuries and more. Paul Carr is with us to give us some time to preview the Women's World Cup. Paul, it's good to talk to you. I wanted to start with, first off, how shocked were you at the upset of the day a little bit earlier where New Zealand were able to pull that off as a pretty big underdog?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get your first World Cup win, and this is not New Zealand's first tournament, this is their sixth tournament, and they had not won in 15 games. That's a pretty huge deal. I mean, they're at home. Home team always gets a little bit of a bump at a World Cup, but still, this is a Norway team that I think some people thought might be a bit of a sleeper, and it's a great win for New Zealand. So yeah, big surprise out of the gate. It's a great way to start the tournament.
Yeah, and I was double-checking before. Maybe you'll know this off the top of my head. But when looking at some of the group odds too, Norway was about a $3 favorite to win that thing.
Something like that.
Yeah. So at least right now, and then before that was before the game, and New Zealand was 5-1 before that win. All right. The other bit of news, of course, Sam Kerr. So she's going to miss Australia's first two games. Of course, one of those already played. They got a 1-0 win over Ireland. This, of course, affects the Golden Boot because she was about 750 or so to win the award behind Alex Morgan, behind Sophia Smith. So walk us through the changes here on this board, because Kelly and I were talking about this earlier. It's a two-part question. It doesn't seem like much has changed at the top despite the fact that Kerr is going to be out. And the second part, is there actually a shot that they should see that maybe somebody could come back in and buy it like 25-1, even though she's missing two games?
I'll start with the second one. I don't think so for Kerr. I mean, because one of the things you need if you win the Golden Boot is you almost always need to pile up some goals in the group stage because that's when you're playing easier opponents. And so she's losing a couple cracks at that. So I don't think there's any real value in her at 25-1. As far as the others, you know, you get such a short price on Morgan and Smith that I just don't think they can get a whole lot shorter. And it's going to depend a lot on this first game against Vietnam, where you'd expect one or both of them to maybe pile up some goals. So I don't think it changes the whole picture too much. The one I like, and this depends a ton on your price. I think you have Alexandra Popp of Germany at plus 900 here, where I've seen her this morning. I've also seen her as high as plus 1600 places this morning still. So if you can get her closer to that, I do like Popp. I mean, she plays for Germany. They have a relatively weak group. We think she takes penalties, although that's a little fuzzy. And she scored every game for him at Euros last year that she played. So I think that's my play. That's the one I do have a play on, if you can get that price closer to plus 1,600.
And speaking of Germany, right now, as we still have these futures up, that is still a play worth making for you, right, Germany, to win the tournament?
I mean, it always is for me. Yep. But yeah, if you can get him at that, I'd say at least plus 700, then I think it's worth it. They do have some injuries. Lena Oberdorf, one of their best players and midfielder, is maybe a little dinged up. But like I said, they have a relatively easy group in Morocco, Colombia, South Korea. So they should still kind of cruise through the group stage and have some time to play their way into form and get healthy before they get into the knockout stage. They made the final of Euros last year and took England extra time. So this is not like a long shot. This is the fourth betting favorite on the whole. But if you can get that plus 700 price or better, I do like Germany.
All right, and the others, I was going through over the last couple of days everything that's offered at all these shops. My eyes are going cross because there's so much that you can wager and wade into. Let's talk about some group wagers first. Walk us through Denmark and why you would look at them at 850 to win their group.
Yeah, so Denmark is the second favorite in the group. England is the second favorite in the tournament and obviously the favorite to win the group. So if I want to talk down England, it's that, look, they started the same 11 players in all six games of Euros last year, which they won. Four of those players are not here. Three are hurt, one retired. Another, Millie Bright, is on the team, but a little sketchy health-wise right now. So England not at full strength. Denmark has a lot of players from a lot of leagues across the world, the top leagues. Pernille Harder is the name to watch. She's their forward, one of the 10, 15 best players at the tournament or first World Cup. This is plus 850, so it's obviously a flyer. But if they can beat England, both teams should handle Haiti and China. So it kind of, we think, will come down to that England-Denmark game, which will be the second game of the group stage for them. So yeah, plus 850, I think, is a decent price. Long shot for Denmark to win the group.
All right, another two-part question, because you do have Nigeria, double chance, plus 260 versus Canada. That game is going to be later tonight, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Does tie into Canada to lose in group stage at plus 230. But walk me through what a double chance wager is as somebody who doesn't really do a lot of this in terms of football. I was looking at that yesterday. I was like, huh, that's a pretty interesting market.
Yeah, different books will call it different things. Double chance is kind of a fancy way of saying plus half a goal.
Yeah.
So, sometimes the prices vary, which I never quite understood, but it's the same bet. Double chance means you get two different shots. You get Nigeria to win, you get Nigeria to draw.
Okay.
So I do like the Nigeria double chance against Canada in this game tonight.
Okay. And that ties into Canada to lose in group stage. Would assume that means just lose a game in group stage?
To go out in the group
stage. Okay.
All right. To not advance. Both these bets are fading Canada.
Yeah.
They're an older team. Christine Sinclair is the name that people might know. She's scored more international goals than anybody ever, male or female. But she's 40, so she's not the goal scoring threat she was. They have injury issues. Janine Becky is out for them. Some questions on the back line. Not a very potent team from an offensive standpoint. And that obviously makes you more vulnerable to upsets. So I don't think they get out of the group. I think Ireland or Nigeria could. Ireland is the one way I would go, even though they lost to Australia today. So yeah, Canada not to get out of the group or to go out in the group stage at plus 230, I like. And I like Nigeria on the double chance, getting a really nice plus 260. Nigeria is one of those, high ceiling, low floor type of teams. They've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of issues behind the scenes fighting with the Federation. But when they're good, they're really good. And I think they can give Canada a run for their money tonight.
All right, let's shift over to tomorrow really quick. I want to get your best bets out before I ask you some other general questions about what we're looking at. Tomorrow, 10 p.m. Pacific time for us on the West Coast, the Philippines and Switzerland, and you've got to play there.
Well, these are tough games to handicap because this is kind of like a 1 versus a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament when there's this giant spread. I mean, the U.S., I think, is laying six and a half goals,
right? Yeah.
Which just sounds stupid. But this is coming because they beat Thailand 13-0 in the opener last time, 4 years ago at the World Cup. And remember, goal difference matters. It's your first tiebreaker. So if the U.S. wins this by a lot, it makes it easier. A draw against Netherlands in the second game isn't the end of the world because you probably still have a tiebreaker edge. So this is more of a lean than a play. I would still lean toward the U.S. just because, you don't want to bet against them. The market I was looking for and couldn't find anywhere available for me, at least, was more goals total in the second half. Because that's when the U.S. just wears teams down with their depth, with their fitness. 10 of those 13 goals against Thailand were in the second half 4 years ago. So that's what I would look for if you can get any kind of decent price on that. But yeah, if I have to pick a side here, I would still go toward the U.S. even laying a giant number.
If so, in doing reading and research, it would seem that the narrative would be that this is still a very good U.S. women's team, but that maybe the gap has shrunk in between them and the rest of them. Is that accurately priced in the market overall, or are there ways to play against that?
I think it's pretty accurately priced. Okay. You look at 4 years ago, the U.S. was like plus 150, maybe plus 200 to win the whole thing. And now they're in the plus 250 range, and England's not too far behind that. So, plus 250 is not bad. I think, you know, if you're a fan of the U.S., you want to root for them. I don't think that's a terrible price to lay a little bit of money on to have fun rooting interest for the tournament. But yeah, the gap just every tournament gets a little bit closer. U.S. won three of their four knockout games by one goal last time around. So, but U.S. is still the best team. They're just the margin's not quite what it used to be.
All right, and the last one I have for you overall, we'll get you out of here on this. You know, we talked a lot about top goal scorer. How do you handicap a golden glove, if at all? Because obviously, I was thinking about this. I'm like, man, that seems like a really hard thing to kind of handicap because you essentially want shots on goal, right? But then if you're giving up a bunch, then that kind of means that you're probably a team that's not playing well. How do you do that?
I don't think there's a great way to do it. I mean, generally, you would just go like kind of who has the best defense and a decent keeper. But you never know. It's just, I don't think there's a really great way. So much is circumstantial, the nature of the game. You know, I think the Dutch keeper won 4 years ago, even though, you know, Christina Endler from Chile was probably the best keeper, but they just didn't go very far. So I don't think there's a great way. And this is kind of a market. Again, this is not a black and white market like the Golden Boot where it's number of goals you scored. This is voted on by a technical committee. So yeah, something that's super subjective like that and can change so much, you know, with one game, one save, you save one penalty and suddenly you're the favorite. I tend to stay away from those.
All right. So I'll get my last question, it's a viewing question. I was asking Kelly, Open Championship's underway. If he stays up all night and watches these things, what are the viewing habits for you during the Women's World Cup? Are you staying up? You power it through? What's the plan?
This is tough. So it's nice because the first two U.S. games are primetime. I think it's 8 Central where I am. The third one won't be. Ideally, that game doesn't matter too much. But then I'm going to have to start making hard choices. I think the first U.S. game, if they win the group, is in primetime as well. And then it gets really tough. So through one day, I'm in wake up and put on the replay and catch up mode or catch the end of a game if it's still going when I wake up. As we get deeper in the tournament and really the knockout stage, that's where I'm probably going to have to, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. Do I stay up to like 3 to watch or do I wake up at 5? There's no good answer here.
Paul, it's good to talk to you, man. Thank you very much for the time. Awesome stuff.
You bet, JVT.
At Paul Carr up on Twitter. You want to give him a follow there. It's always the best question with these kind of things. I'll have to ask the question when the FIBA World Cup starts in the Philippines for basketball.
Totally.
You gotta wonder what the schedule is going to be like.
I'm with Paul, too. I'm playing it all by ear. We'll see.
I'm down to ignore my family. I think that's fine.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive too fast, you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Jonathan Von Tobel here on a numbers game last 30 minutes. I'm filling in for Gil Alexander today. Really quickly, before we get back to baseball, any good golf observations that you would like to make? Justin Rose right now with a putt for, is it par? He's at 2 over right now. I know that.
Par. It's hard to see, but he is 2 over. Yeah, par on a par 5. Needs to make this. And tracking. Oh, and lips out.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Let's see. Tough. Your leaderboard update. Brought to you by Sean McCollum. Let's see. We have Antoine Roser did finish with a birdie, so he got to 4 under par behind Lamprecht Fleetwood.
Okay.
And then it's Stewart Cink, Wyndham Clark in the clubhouse at 3 under. Brian Harman's – I'm on Brian Harman watch because he's 3 under through 9.
Do you have nothing on him?
I've got nothing on him.
You let out a Brian Harman get out of my life.
Well, he's been playing good the past few weeks, and it's kind of a little bit out of nowhere. We're not exactly talking about – I mean, the things I talked about when breaking down and previewing this tournament, Brian Harman doesn't fit a lot of the categories. He's not very long off the tee. Yes, he's accurate. That helps, but he doesn't have a lot of length in his game, so I'm pretty impressed with what he's doing right now. You've got him at 3 under. He's still on the course. Let's see, Matthew Jordan, Jordan Spieth, Siwoo Kim all in the clubhouse at 2 under. And then you have Joaquin Neiman at 2 under through 6. I do have an outright on him, so hopefully he keeps going. Just not too fast, JVT. You know, I don't want to do the Joaquin Neiman steal my first-round leader money when I don't have a first-round leader bet on him. That wouldn't be good. And he is, 2 under par. There is also Adrian Otugwe. 2 under par. Sorry, Adrian. I'm sure I butchered your name there. He's through 14 at 2 under. Then you got a bunch of guys 1 under par. As far as live odds, Tommy Fleetwood at the top of the board right now, plus 650. JVT, pro golf handicapper. Scotty Scheffler, 7-1. Rory McIlroy, plus 750. John Rahm, 14-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 18. Spieth, 18. Wyndham Clark, 18, and then we just had a big shift. Xander Schauffele, 22, Cantlay, 22, Hovland, 28, Brian Harman, 30-1, live if you wanted to get in on that. Live, first-round leader odds, Fleetwood and Lamprecht both plus 140, Harman 14-1, Neiman 18-1, Hatton 25-1, and then it drops down to 45.
An observation here. The wind seems to be picking up a little bit. At least I'm observing more moving parts on these guys, like the gloves hanging out of the back pocket, moving around while they're trying to get while they're trying to line up their shots. It does seem more windy. And I will say, as watching some of these guys early, you know, some of the dudes who are in the early parts of their round right now, mm-hmm. so obviously part of the late window, not some great scores early on for some of these guys, right? Like a lot of dudes, they're at least five to seven to nine holes in some indications. They're all just at even. There's quite a few guys that are a little bit later in their rounds that are about one over or so. It does seem that maybe the course is playing a little bit harder here in this late window. Is that a safe observation?
Yeah, there's a chance. I don't really know why it would. I guess there's a chance maybe the sun is baking out these greens a little bit. Maybe they're a little faster than what these guys were practicing on, just because it's been bright and sunny basically the entire day right. over there. Really no rain at all. The wind, though, it's kind of what we expected, JVT. I mean, we get 5 mph prevailing winds, westerly prevailing winds. Thank you, Forever tweeted that in yesterday. I forgot who it was already. I think Scotty. Prevailing winds, 5 mph. So you're only talking about the winds right now are like 10 miles an hour out of the northwest, 10 to 12 mile an hour out of the northwest. That really wouldn't be – that's not an abnormally high number for a PGA Tour event, for an Open Championship event. It's definitely not a big number, but – just keep in mind how flat this course is. It's right up against the ocean, so you're going to feel every bit of that 12 miles an hour where you might be playing. We might see 12 miles an hour at a course in the States where there might be a billion houses and it might be in the middle of a city or something, right where buildings are going to help block that wind and stuff. But so they're feeling every bit of the wind right now, but it's not a lot going on right there.
Right, and like to your point too about like these things getting baked out. You know, I was watching like Scheffler. I mean, it seemed like he was getting some pretty good run on some of those tee shots in the fair. Like, there was a couple that he added, like, a good, like, 10 yards on it. So, It's not like I don't think there would be a massive difference. I mean, you see right now, I don't know who this is, Legaska?
Ramon Langeska.
Yeah, but you see the way the wind's whipping him around a little bit in terms of the outfit. So, maybe it has picked up a little bit because, like, again, we're watching on TV. But I'm just observing more in terms of wind, which I was not seeing this morning when these guys were playing. So, maybe just picking up and throwing some guys off, but it's been pretty surprising.
Well,
to watch.
I hope you're right, and I hope it does. I hope it gets way worse. Just well, I'm down for the point, right? Second, yeah, the first round just end right now.
If you've got a Fleetwood, if you've got a Lamprecht, first round leader,
I might be saying his name wrong for 2 hours. I haven't heard it.
There is some nut who's got a first round leader on him, right?
Probably. And before everybody asked me what the odds were on him, I have no idea, but probably 200-ish to 1. The one thing to keep in mind, whatever his first-round leader odds, they're way shorter than whatever his outright odds were, because there's a chance, right? There's always a chance you could put one fluky round together and go low. So that's where you always see, like, you know, the Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, their first-round leader odds are longer than what their full tournament odds are, because you expect the top talent guys over 4 days to be able to put it all together.
Sample size, baby. Yep. Sample size theater. But small sample size theater will give you some wild results. All right, Rory.
Rory's had a wild round so far. Through five, he's even par.
Oh, so he dropped one because he was one under, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was also one over at one point, I think.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, he's been all over the place for the most part. Set himself up right here. That's a par three.
He went birdie on two, bogey on four, parred the par five fifth.
Okay. All right. Makes sense then. Makes sense. All right, we'll see if he's got something. He's got about like a 20-foot-ish putt for birdie right now on this par three. Again, Lamprecht and Fleetwood at 5 under, your leaders at this point right now. And as you noted, the bad juju will follow me. I have an outright on Tommy Fleetwood, but nothing on the first round. So hopefully my guy. If I get my two guys, Kelly, my FOMO guys, I got a Masters ticket on Mats when he won it, 50-1. If I can get my boy Fleetwood. I'm running out of guys. If my guy Fleetwood could pull this off, who's going to be my next dude?
I don't know, man. Yeah, you've been all over Fleetwood, man. Got to give you credit.
Nothing's going to happen. And it's not like I had some foresight. It was just like, hey, I bet Fleetwood a lot. And I just don't want to be, you know what I mean? It was one of those where it was just like, I always say it, go back to the Shinnecock U.S. Open. And I had him there, and he loses it out by a stroke and nearly set a course record. And since then, he's been like, now he is the white whale.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, for me, I've been betting him a lot this year, yeah, too, especially over the past few months because he's been playing so well. But, man, I had to cut out the outrights on him because it's just, yeah, he cannot win over in the U.S.
And here's the thing, and as you know this, you watch more than I do, and being a casual fan of his, my worry is he has rounds in him like this all the time.
Yeah.
Like a 5-under round where he comes out and his guns a-blazing. Now, usually happens on like Saturday. And then Sunday just kind of falls off and you don't really hear from him. So the fact that this happened early, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that he got the good round out already. Because generally that's what you get from Fleetwood. You get two like par rounds, like just you're floating around.
Yeah, there's a 73 or 74 waiting for him tomorrow or Saturday. Exactly. I'm with you. Yes.
Exactly. That's generally what you see from Tommy. all right, really quick, a couple more baseball games to get to because we do have some fascinating contests that's going to be later. I wanted to move to San Francisco and see Cincinnati if we could. You know, we mentioned this with Sheehan, the fact that Cincinnati has fallen on some hard times. They lose that series to Milwaukee before the break. They lose coming out of the break to the Milwaukee Brewers. So they have fallen out by about 2.5 games in the NL Central. But of course, big matchups here, big series here as you're playing the San Francisco Giants and looking to make some headway in the wild card race. We have seen, I saw it overnight here on the screen of minus 125 in favor of Cobb in San Francisco. This is now, as you see here, essentially a pick minus 108. Reds in other spots are as high as minus 115, Kelly. So a big market swing in favor of Abbott and the Cincinnati Reds, and haven't seen a pitching change, so I don't think that's it. What's interesting as well here is, again, as somebody who handicaps it this way, and if this price continues to climb on the Giants, I'll be in on San Francisco and Cobb today only because Abbott does have the indicators of a guy that, hey, look, man, maybe getting a little lucky. Through 8 starts, 47 2/3, 2.45 ERA, but a 3.62 expected ERA and a 4.59 expected fielding independent. Those are all the indicators for somebody like me that is looking to potentially play against some overvalued guys, and it might be that Abbott is being played by the market. But and that's the thing, because generally what I'll see, Kelly, is you'll see the market move in like those differentials that I'm looking at for the most part. Not the case here. So I feel like maybe I'm missing something with Abbott, but the numbers would tell me that Abbott potentially could be an overvalued dude. But maybe the market is pretty high on the Cincinnati Reds team overall. They were kind of a darling for the most part, but I think they kind of showed their true colors in that series in Milwaukee. Cobb, on the other hand, if you look at the way that he's been pitching this year, 2.82 ERA, 3.27 expected. So he has actually been exactly what you kind of expect here and been pitching extremely well. Last two starts, actually we'll go to last four, two earned runs or fewer in each of them, has gone pretty deep in the last two for him, 6 innings. Cobb's been in pretty good form, and the fact that if we're going to get plus, you know, if you're going to give me more than even money on the Giants, if we're going to get to like plus 110, which it looks like we're getting to, Giants will be a play on the card later tonight for me against the Cincinnati Reds. So we'll see if that's going to be the case, but was pretty surprised to see this market move.
That's another early start. We started 45 minutes. I like it.
All right, yep, we're going to do it. Yeah, let's track some stuff here. Come on, we got to get some stuff in. All right, we'll take our break. We wrap it up. We got our last 10 minutes. We got plenty left to get to before we head out. Make sure if you missed out on anything with Paul Carr, awesome, awesome conversation. Check that out at VSiN.com as we look to head to the Women's World Cup, which got started today. So VSiN.com for that and everything we have to offer. Check out that summer kickoff special. Man, it's the last chance. I'm telling you, it's the last chance you get.